This podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Gen 40 Heater. Save $20 plus get free shipping on the Gen 40 Heater now at EdenPureDeals.com and use code HOWIEHEATER. Enjoy the podcast.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
First, let me say it's great to be back with all of you. Although, as a longtime hater of heels, I do miss my slippers.
We started hearing this word last spring, transitory.
Economists call all these things transitory effects.
Analysts believe that it will have a temporary or transitory impact.
I believe that they're transitory.
In the end, it will be transitory, and people need to have faith.
Let's go, Brandon!
They said it was transitory. It doesn't look so transitory. They said it was due to a few specific factors. It doesn't look to be a few specific factors.
Uh-oh, SpaghettiOs!
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
You know, and like I told him, I said, you know, if you ever need anything, just give me a call, you know, because I'm his representative now.
Look at me, sure. I'm the captain now.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
Welcome, everybody, to the final hour of the Howie Carr Show. And my voice has obviously changed because I am not Howie Carr, but I am filling in for him. This is Toby Leary from Cape Gunworks down on Cape Cod. I'm sure you've heard me before on the show or on the Grace Curley Show or even on our own show, Rapid Fire, which airs every weekend. On various different radio stations, but you can also find us on wherever you get your podcasts, Rapid Fire, all one word. So I am really happy to be here tonight, filling in for Howie. It's always a pleasure to be here, and boy, there's been a lot to talk about this week. Hasn't been one of those slow news weeks, has it? So, I'm fortunate. There's plenty of material to swim in the deep end of the pool with today. So we'll take your calls if you want to talk guns or anything about guns or anything like that. You can always call in at 844-500-4242, and I'd be happy to talk whatever you want to talk. And I'll swim into the deep end, talk whatever else other side besides guns. Obviously, that's my wheelhouse, but we can do and take this show wherever it wants to go. But it was fun listening to Howie. I don't get to listen to him for a solid 3 hours every day because I have a business to run and stuff like that. And life gets in the way sometimes, but it was cool to hear the last couple hours of the show and on the drive up and whatnot. So, there's so much going on in, you know, gun world and what we get involved in the day to day. A couple weeks ago, we had that Supreme Court hearing of the New York State Pistol and Rifle Association versus Bruin, which was a landmark case in the Second Amendment world. I found it very interesting. I got to listen to some of the questions and the questions that the prosecutor or those bringing the case, the Solicitor General and then the Supreme Court justices themselves as they asked follow-up questions and clarifications, and they got into some of the nuance of law. It was pretty cool to listen to, and I'm sure it'll be a little while before we hear a verdict on that or whatever their decision is, but it seems like it's going to go right down the lines of the usual suspects going, you know, one way, and those who you would think they'd go one way or the other, go the other way. I guess John Roberts is the mystery man. You know, he's the guy who didn't really tip his hand much, but I liked some of the things he talked about, which was, hey, if you don't need to pull a permit to go speak at an event, well, why should you need to get a permit to get a gun license? So that kind of, you know, question put them on the spot. And more of that later, and we'll also be taking your calls, but we'll also get into some of the Kyle Rittenhouse trial. It's obviously a Second Amendment-ish type trial where this man was, you know, out and about in his community, and it's funny, you always hear them say, you're not from that area. You know, it's like, well, his dad lived in Kenosha, and, you know, he has some ties there, and he considers it his community. You know, it was burning in flames and, you know, people breaking and looting and rioting. And so he went there to try to help defend some property and businesses and whatnot. But he says, I was really there primarily for medical and fire. So, you know, he was there to help. And he'd been in some cadet program. And so, obviously, he had some advanced medical training. And so, whenever he heard someone needed some help, he ran up the street and, who needs medical? Who needs medical? You know, and the prosecutor's there trying to paint him as this killer out on the streets of Kenosha, Wisconsin, where he is looking for victims. And, you know, and then the media, of course, has spent months portraying him as this white supremacist, you know. And I read a tweet yesterday where this girl goes, I just found out at the start of this trial that the guys he killed were white. Like, you'd think after listening to the news that he was just, you know, out there, you know, whacking every person of color. And on our show this week, you'll hear it tomorrow if you tune in, but we had attorney Keith Langer on, and he made a great point. And he said he was in a target-rich environment if he really was out there to kill people of color or black people. If that's what he was there to do, he failed in his first objective and only killed white people who attacked him. Gosh, the guy, he needs to go back to killer school, if you ask me, because obviously he failed at that job. But the prosecutor would have you believe that, hey, here he is, and he's there to chew gum and kill people, and he's all out of bubble gum. So that's the way it, you know, the trial has pretty much presented itself. And frankly, I don't know how the judge can continue to preside over this without causing a mistrial with prejudice, because after the Grothaus guy there, what was his name? I always mispronounce it. Grothaus or
Gross
Quartz or something like that. Yeah,
Gage.
Yeah, let's just call him Gage. That's a little easier. And he had like gauges in his ears too, I think, as a matter of fact, if I'm not mistaken. So, but he finally admits, like, yeah, when the gun was pointed at Kyle's head, that's when you got shot, right? And he's like, yeah, that's correct. Yeah. He didn't shoot you when you were standing back with your hands up, right? No, it wasn't until I advanced on him and pulled my gun and pointed at his head that he shot me. What the heck? Like, that's not fair. But anyway, do you guys have that cut ready of the, Jared, you got that cut? All right, why don't we play that cut from, I know it's not exactly that interaction with the prosecutor, but we have one of the other ones that was one of the highlights of the trial. So go ahead and roll that.
You picked it out because it looked cool.
I thought it looked cool. That's the reason, yes.
It resembled the types of weapons that are used in first-person shooter video games, correct?
I don't really play first-person shooter video games. I have, but I believe there's a variety of guns, including shotguns, pistols. There's guns in video games that resemble all guns.
Isn't it true when you would hang out with Dominic Black, you'd play Call of Duty and other first-person shooter video games?
Sometimes.
And those are games in which you use weapons like AR-15s to pretty much shoot anybody who comes at you, correct?
It's a video game where two players are playing together. I don't really understand the meaning of your question, to be honest.
Isn't one of the things people do in these video games try and kill everyone else with your guns?
Yeah, the video game. It's just a video game. It's not real life.
Unbelievable. Like, he's trying to lead him into saying, you're a homicidal maniac. You just want to kill everybody you see, right? And, you know, it's just unbelievable. But one thing that's really come out is this is a trial almost of against the AR-15. This prosecutor was fixated on the AR-15, the fact that he had an AR-15. At one point, he even says, why didn't you get a handgun? He's like, well, because my understanding of the law, I know you're an officer of the court. That's not what he said. But my understanding is I can't own a handgun because I'm not old enough. So I got a gun that I was able to possess and whatnot. And so, and he, that kind of threw him a curveball. He just stood there looking like, oh shoot, my whole follow-up question is out the window here. But yeah, you like the way it looks, don't you? It's cool and blah, blah, blah. But anyway, I digress. So it's been very fascinating TV, and you know, especially with the Second Amendment implications and the most basic human right of being able to defend yourself against someone who's trying to kill you. And it's like, oh, you got hit in the head twice with a skateboard, but, you know, he didn't have a gun, he didn't have a baseball bat, he didn't have a knife, He's like, no, but he'd hit me in the head twice with a skateboard. It's like, yeah, I don't think you had to wait till he hit you twice in order to shoot in self-defense if you're in fear for your life. So anyway, there's all that going around, and then all kinds of other stuff going on in this world. But I see the phone lines are filling up. Let's get to some of the calls here. Johnny, you've been waiting. Johnny from Springfield, go ahead. You're next on the Howie Carr Show.
Actually, Toby, I live in Ware. It's Johnny O, and I want to say, first of all, let's go, Brandon. second of all, what I want to say was, I was on hold with Howie, and you were the guest host that night. And the show ended, and you actually called me on my phone while I was feeding some pheasants at a club after the show. And that was very impressive. Now, my brother-in-law, I had asked you a question about the Utah license. And if you remember me now,
yep, I remember.
I asked you a question about the Utah license, and they were going to be traveling across the country, blah, 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 whatever. So I said, listen, go to Cape Gunworks. You live North Cape. Go see Toby. He's going to take care of you. They went to your place. They ended up buying a P365. You weren't there at the time. They actually asked for you. They're both retired, and they're going to be traveling the country, and they wanted to make sure they had personal protection. And they were totally impressed with your business and your shop and everything, and being able to try the weapons and all the stuff. And my brother-in-law is an engineer, if that tells you anything. So, you know, these guys investigate everything, but he was very impressed. They ended up coming to my sportsman's club here in Belchertown, and they shot, and I was very impressed with their shooting. And my sister especially, you know, 60-something years old, center mass. Nice. I mean, center mass with this P365. They love the weapon. They love what they got out of Cape Gunworks. And I'm sure his brother is listening right now, because he's a big Howie Carr listener. He's going to hear Johnny O. He's going to be like, oh, your brother-in-law was on last night. Oh, so I want to thank you very much for what you've done. And that just goes to show you've got a thorough business. One of these days, I will make my way out there and check out your gun shop.
That'd be great. We'd love to have you, Johnny O. Thank you very much for the call, and I appreciate the feedback. You know, we try to treat everyone as if we'd be how we'd want to be treated. So I appreciate that. And yeah, it was good talking to you, and hopefully they have a safe travels. All right. So we're going to go to a break, and we will be back after this. If you're on the line, hold on. We'll get to the calls next. So you're listening to the Howie Carr Show. I'm Toby Leary, and don't go away.
It's his show, and he knows how to use it.
You turn on my phone. You ask me if you would. I am paying for this microphone, Mr.
Howie Carr returns after this. The Howie Carr Show.
All right. Welcome back to the Howie Carr Show. I'm your guest host, Toby Leary. Today's poll question is brought to you by the Eden Pure Gen 40 Heater. Save $20 on the Gen 40 heater that is both stylish and easy to move from room to room. Go to EdenPureDeals.com and use code word Howie Heater to save $20 and get free shipping. That's EdenPureDeals.com, code word Howie Heater. Well, Jared, what is the poll question today, and what are the results thus far?
Would you ever vote for a Republican congressman who voted for the infrastructure bill?
That would be a big no in my world.
92% of the audience says no.
Okay. Well, that's to be expected. I think we're preaching to the choir a little bit here, right?
Yeah, it's been pretty consistent all day.
Yeah.
Despite Howie's tries to get it up a little bit.
Right. Well, speaking of that infrastructure bill, by the way, that is, you know, the Build Back Better Act, correct? And that has massive gun control slush funds in there, and also red flag laws and everything else. So, you know, part of Building Back Better is to prohibit the free exercise of one's Second Amendment rights. That would be important to the Build Back Better Act and the infrastructure, the so-called infrastructure bill. I wonder how much of that actually goes to infrastructure, the trillions of dollars.
I think it broke down to 7% to infrastructure-related programs.
Unbelievable.
Most of those are probably union kickbacks.
Yeah, Yeah, for real. Anyway, all right. Zebra's been waiting a while on the phone, so let's go to the phones. How you doing, Zebra? Welcome to the Howie Carr Show.
Not too bad, Toby. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, that's socialism for you, right? You vote yourself in, and then you got to fight your way out. I got a technical question regarding firearms to settle a argument. I got to be careful how I phrase it so that the other person I have arguments with won't think I swayed you. So allow me the lawyeristic presentation. It's got to do with muzzle velocity. We'll just pick a cartridge, although I don't think it makes a difference, say a 308, and whether same barrel length, everything same, but one versus a bolt action versus a semi-auto gas fire.
Interesting.
Which muzzle, is there any change in muzzle velocity because of the, a bolt action lockdown versus part of the gas, or however it's done, but not a momentum.
Yeah, there definitely
that would be. That's a different thing.
Yeah, there definitely could be, because the semi-automatic is going to bleed off some of the gas in order to work the action of the gun through either a op rod or a direct blowback or a gas block and tube, like a direct impingement type of thing. So it certainly could change the amount of gas that escapes the gun or pressures and whatnot. So it might be minimal, but I would say it would definitely change the muzzle velocity a little bit, but I don't think it'll be significant. But there is
only way out. You're saying only way out downrange.
Yeah, there's inherent.
If you're talking about like 1,500 yards, maybe difference in 1,400 yards or something like that.
Yeah, and there's inherently bolt action rifles are more accurate than semi-autos, and part of that reason is because of the what we just talked about, that gas bleed and the action of the gun. It's harder to accurize, a lot more moving parts than a bolted down gun. But I would say that the muzzle velocity might play a little factor in that. And but there are some phenomenal semi-automatic guns that are, half minute of angle or sub minute of angle guns. That's amazing what they're doing these days, but it's mostly really precision built guns that are not cheap. But anyway, it's a good question. And I guess, I'm shooting from the hip here because I don't have empirical evidence in front of me and I haven't researched that per se, but just, based on my understanding of how semi-automatics work, I think you would have a slight muzzle velocity difference, but we'll see when I get home tonight and read on the blogs how I screwed this one up. No. Just kidding. Thanks for the call, Zebra. And Dan, you've been waiting a while too. Let's go to Dan in New Hampshire. Thanks for calling the Howie Carr Show. How are you?
Hey, thanks, buddy. Real quick question. I have an 8mm Mauser. It's my hunting rifle. I thought I had like 10 rounds left, but then I found another 40 rounds. So my question is, I'm having a hard time finding 8mm.
Yes.
So I got a guy that can reload them. Mm-hmm. So would it be better for me to just have them reloaded and then that way I don't have to go out and look for the 8mm? I thought it was pretty scary.
If you have 40 rounds, it sounds like you're pretty well set for the next few hunting seasons unless you're a prolific deer hunter. But here's what my suggestion would be. If they are a full metal jacket, like a military round, you don't want to hunt with them. So use those to get the gun sighted in, and then hire your buddy who's a reloader to build you some good hand loads.
Protecting your family is essential, but defending yourself doesn't have to be lethal. It's time for safer self-defense.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
Welcome back to the Howie Carr Show, and I am, in fact, live in the Howie Carr studio, even though he was on the Cape today, and here I am, and go figure. Sometimes technology throws a curveball your way, but it was a fun drive in the pouring rain, I must admit, and I'm glad to be here. Always love to cover for Howie whenever he needs me. I'm here. So anyway, before the break, we were talking about the gentleman in New Hampshire's, I think it was John, 6mm Mauser. is his go-to hunting round. It's a good round. It's a capable round. It's a Mauser rifle. It has throwback to World War II. It pays homage to World War II, and it's a great round. He said he only has 40 rounds, but that doesn't sound like a lot, but at the very, you know, when you're shooting deer, it kind of is. But sometimes it might take you 10 or 15 rounds to get on paper and then adjust your sights. And I don't know if he has a scope or not, but if he has a buddy who's willing to load him up some hand loads that are good quality hollow points, those are rounds that are designed to expand upon impact. And we had someone else talking about hollow points and you know, Full Metal Jacket and whatnot. So the military uses Full Metal Jacket. So those old Milsurp 8mm rounds might be that way. But let's go to the Kyle Rittenhouse trial. I think you guys have a cut about that. There was some good discussion about that, right?
As you sit here today, you know that there are different types of bullets, right?
Yes.
You know that hollow point bullets, for example, do different things to a animal or a human than Full Metal Jacket bullets, correct?
Yeah. Full Metal Jacket is a defense round, like another type of defense round. I know people use Full Metal Jacket for hunting, and hollow point is something that causes more damage.
Hollow point bullets are designed to hit the animal that they're being shot at, let's say a deer, for example, and explode inside that body, correct?
No, I don't think so.
Whoa, holy shnikes, where am I going to get me some of those rounds? Because you're not going to get those at Cape Gunworks, those exploding hollow points, but it's amazing. This
prosecutor, it really is like somebody who knows nothing about anything at all, just talking about it. So your gun had unlimited bullets, didn't it?
What? You had one of those ghost guns. He didn't even get into the ghost gun thing. So exploding rounds, like, you know, that's like Rambo stuff right there. Like,
that's one of those bullets that can go through somebody, turn around and come back through, hit another person, then go on to a third person. Isn't that correct, sir?
The heat-seeking missile round. Yeah, and it's like the, that's what they all think the AR-15 does anyway. So now you add a exploding hollow point in there and shoot, you know, you could probably take over the world with one of those. But anyway, so you want a round that's designed for the specific purpose that it is, you know, designed for. So in other words, a good hollow point, which doesn't explode, it might expand and create a bigger wound cavity in order to humanely put the animal down quicker. That's what you want to hunt with. But, finding those exploding bullets might be a little tough these days, as all bullets are, but I don't know of any exploding bullets that would even be legal to sell if they did make such a thing, but you're probably going to strike out on, you know, going to the local gun store for those exploding bullets. So anyway, Joshua's been waiting a while. Let's go to the phones and talk to him real quick. Hey, Joshua, welcome to the Howie Carr Show.
How you doing, my friend?
Good.
Good, good. I just had a quick question. I have ammunition. I don't have a gun, but I have a few clips of 40 Glock Smith & Wesson. They're brand new clips, fully loaded with 14 bullets. And I don't know if it's possible for me to come in and shoot them rather than, you know, not shoot them.
Sure. All right. Well, thank you for the call, Joshua. I'll answer that as best I can. So, if you're still there, do you have a license to carry?
For me to even hold ammunition without a gun?
It's fine if you have a license. Do you have a license for the gun?
Like, yes.
Okay. If you have a gun license, then yeah.
No, Toby, I don't have a gun.
Got it.
But I have a bunch of clips of 40 Glock Smith & Wesson.
Yeah, do you have a gun license, though, the license to carry or FID card?
Yes.
Okay, so as long as you're duly licensed in this state, you can then exercise your Second Amendment rights. And you can come down and, yeah, we could help you use them up and put them in a gun and shoot them off if that's what you want to do. No problem at all. Or you could go with a friend to the range if you, you know, not close to us or whatever. And you're allowed to shoot, you know, whatever guns you want, but it doesn't, like, there's no big law against only having magazines or ammunition and not having the gun with it. So there's no issue there. But you do have to be licensed to have magazines and ammunition in the state of Massachusetts. So much to the chagrin of a lot of the tourists that come by my shop every year and see that we actually have stuff, and they're like, oh, I'll just pick up some ammo while I'm here. I'm from Pennsylvania. We don't have ammo in Pennsylvania. Well, I'm sorry to say, we'll ship it to you. You know, that's the only way we can do it. So what do you mean you can't sell me ammo? Just please don't ask. It's too painful to explain the law to everybody who walks in. But no, we do take the time. But thanks for the call, Joshua. And Sean, you're next on the Howie Carr Show. How you doing today?
Hey, Toby. I'm good. How are you doing?
Very good, thanks.
Hey, on your 2A Tuesdays with Grace, you had mentioned that Massachusetts used to be a may state and is now a shall state. Is that, did I hear that correct?
Yeah, they have changed the lingo of, you know, that if you're not a prohibited person, you know, in other words, you can pass the background check, then they have to give you something. It's probably going to be an FID. The FID card is what they're specifically talking about, is a may and shall. Like, it changed to shall. So they'll have to give you the FID card if you're not prohibited or you're not, you know, you don't have felonies on your record and whatnot. But it doesn't necessarily mean that they have to give you the license to carry. So that is what we are hoping to see a big change with this, you know, Supreme Court hearing that was presented. The oral arguments were presented last week or a week and a half ago, whatever it was now. And so that could change the law of the land for those eight states that still really restrict people's rights, and some states that you have to even give a reason for why you want to exercise your Second Amendment. So that's really what's on at hand at the on the Supreme Court level. But we are still a state that lives under that type of law in New York, where you got to go apply to the local chief, you got to give them a reason why you want to own a gun, and you got to, you know, put references down, and then some cases the reason isn't good enough. So if you live in Brookline or, you know, some suburb of Boston, and you say, I want a gun for personal protection, they're going to say, nah, no, we'll give it to you for target and hunting, but we don't want you walking around town with a gun, so sorry. But it's just the way things are. And other towns, like the one I live in, historically you've given the reason for any lawful purpose, which kind of covers all the bases. You just say, why do you want a gun? Well, I want it for any lawful purpose. Whatever I can do legally with a gun, that's why I want it. Well, that's not good enough. You got to further define that. Well, how do I further define something that covers everything? Like, I'm not quite understanding what you're asking me here. It's like, but you got to give another reason. That doesn't cut it anymore. Too many people caught on that that's the lingo you use on your license to carry. So go figure. But all right. So John from Rochester, you're next with on the Howie Carr Show with Toby Leary. How are you?
Hello?
John, how are you today?
I'm doing pretty good. Was it just Rochester?
It says Rochester, but maybe you're not.
I'm from Yarmouth.
Oh, okay. Well, sorry to throw a whammy.
I'm a local.
But you are John, though, right?
I hope so. Last time I checked.
All right.
All right, I got two things. Number one, what's your opinion with a hollow point and HydroShock?
Mm-hmm. The hollow point HydroShock, it's a very good bonded jacketed hollow point. The Federal HydroShock has been around for a long time. It's very proven. It's reliable. It runs well through most guns, and it is a very deep hollow point that expands quite a bit, and it's been used in a lot of law enforcement circles for decades. So it's a great round that's here to stay, and it's proven itself very well. So good round. You can't go wrong with it.
Okay, that's number one. Number two, this might sound kind of weird, but I like small guns. I like Derringers.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen this apparatus on several different movies. I don't know if it's real or if it's just fake. You know, it's when the guy does a click in his wrist and the Derringer comes popping out?
Yep. I think that's sound
real?
Effects. I think that's sound effects. One thing that drives me crazy, and Grace Curley was talking about this her boyfriend and soon to be husband was talking about this watching movies, that every time the gun handling techniques are driving him crazy. And it's like nails on a chalkboard to me that every time a person presents a gun in a crime show or a TV show or movie, it makes the sound like they're chambering around. It's like, you know, that's pretty much the sound right there. I think I nailed that, but but it's kind of funny that, you know, you see this Glock pistol come out and it sounds like he's loading a pump shotgun, but it's just the sound effects. And I have a feeling that's what you're thinking of with a Derringer, but maybe, I mean, they do flip open. So if you turn the release on the side of the Derringer and then you swing it, it could flip open and hinge open, if you will, and drop the two empty shells. Maybe that's what you see.
You're going up. You're going way off. Okay. Way off kilter, what I want.
All right.
There's a apparatus that goes onto your forearm.
Oh.
And the Derringer fits in it, and you do a certain movement, and the Derringer comes shooting straight. It doesn't shoot. I'm not shooting.
I see what you're saying. But yep. Sorry, I misunderstood. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, like every Western card scene, they kind of pull up the sleeve and there's like a track.
Now I'm remembering from the Sherlock Holmes movie that, Robert Downey Jr. was in.
Oh, right, yeah.
And
yeah.
What was the evil guy there? What was his name?
Moriarty.
Moriarty.
I can't remember the actor's name.
Yeah, Moriarty's in the car there and all of a sudden, it's right there in his hand. I don't know where you can get one of those, but they're cool. And I'm sure that somebody at one point in, you know, the Old West made them, John, and that's what I haven't seen them kicking around and I haven't been able to order them from my distributors lately, but it could just be a supply chain issue. Thanks for the call, John. I appreciate that. And sorry, I'm a little slow on the uptake here, but Ed, you've been waiting a while, so let's go to Ed. Appreciate you calling the Howie Carr Show. How are you today?
I'm doing very well. Thanks for having me.
No problem.
All right, so I want to get something very straight so that listeners understand. I am a liberal who believes in the Second Amendment.
Nice.
I also believe that Kyle is innocent and that he defended himself.
Sure.
What I do need to get some understanding is, which is what I'm trying to understand, is we have to talk about an underage gentleman who chose to do something very courageous, which is cross state lines with his weapons, which in my understanding is illegal, and that should be what the defense should be talking about. Everything that Kyle did in his defense is defense.
Mm-hmm.
I do not believe, just so I can get this out, I do not believe that anyone should be destroying property, should be destroying neighborhoods, businesses in protest. But I want to know, I just can't seem to hear people talk about this being underage. Are you crossing state lines with a weapon? And where do you fall on guilt on that only? Absolutely nothing to do with what transcribed.
Yeah, no, that's a great point, Ed. And I talked about this on my show, which will air tomorrow on Rapid Fire. And the irony of the whole thing is that seems like a legitimate thing that maybe if you really have to hang the trophy on the wall and like prosecute him for something, that to me seems like the obvious thing to prosecute him for. Was he legally in possession of the gun? Did he illegally cross state lines? But for some reason, the prosecution isn't even bringing that up. And I don't think the defense needs to focus in on that because that's not what he's on trial for. He's on trial for murder. And murder is a big deal. And, you know, so I agree with you that he acted in self-defense. And, but that's really not what he's on trial. The prosecution took him to court and he's fighting for his life in a murder one trial right now. And they're trying to paint him as some homicidal maniac that played first person shooter video games and was this bloodthirsty white supremacist, you know, and had to go kill people that night. I don't think anybody who watches that trial can come to that conclusion, including, I don't think the jury will. But on the other hand, I've made the statement before, what was he doing there in the first place? But anyway, we'll talk more about that on the other side. And I appreciate the call, Ed. And we'll be right back. You're listening to the Howie Carr Show. Don't go away.
Follow Howie on Twitter, @HowieCarrShow. You won't regret it.
gave you a gun and the authority to use it. One is no good without the other. They don't know that out there. So they'll scream blue murder until the next time they need a man with a badge.
Howie Carr.
All right, welcome back to the Howie Carr Show, and I'm Toby Leary, guest host, and I'm glad to be here, and I'm glad you're here listening. So before the break, we were talking to Ed about, number one, I applaud you, Ed, for saying that you're a liberal and you like guns and you think Kyle is innocent, and then you kind of got down the rabbit hole of what he should have been charged with, and, you know, I can't disagree with that. If he was breaking the law in those ways, then sure, that'd be the area to go after him. But I want to say something about, there's a couple of groups out there that I've actually spoken to and talked to, and one of them is called Liberal Gun Owners, and they are, just like the name implies, and like Ed said he was. And I just ask that you guys continue to hold the politicians' feet to the fire that are typically left-leaning and liberal in nature, who don't typically embrace the Second Amendment. But I do believe that the Second Amendment is for everybody, and it's a tent we can all stay under and get together and with some camaraderie and some good, some really good common ground. So I think the Second Amendment has a lot of common ground for not everybody looks the same and acts the same and feels the same. So that's my hats off to you, and I'm happy you're a gun owner, and there's plenty of room under the Second Amendment tent for everybody. So, all right, let's go back to the calls because we got a quick segment here. Patrick, you're next on the Howie Carr Show with Toby Leary. How are you?
Hey, how's it going, Toby?
Yes, sir.
Hello. Mm-hmm. Yes. I just want to start by saying that me and my wife took a Tuesday off and went down there, and you have a gorgeous facility.
Oh, great. Thank you.
And I was wondering, I haven't heard a lot about them, but I've got one, the new Mossberg handguns.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen them yet?
I have, yeah. I've shot them, sold them. We have them on our range as a demo gun. You can rent and try it out, and we have both models that are mass compliant. We have the MC1 and the MC2. Both of them are excellent quality guns. They've been great sellers at our shop. Hard to get, but they're good. So once again, thank you, Howie, for letting me sit in the big chair, and I'll do it anytime you need it, and we'll see you guys next time. Don't forget Rapid Fire this weekend. We'll see you soon.